Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced at the Melbourne Community Support Program and brought to you through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to another program in the award-winning series of Listen to Older Voices. Over the next three programs, we'll share with Maria Enger her life from her earliest memories through until current times. Born in an outer suburb of London in 1931, Marie's story starts with the death of her father from tuberculosis. She never knew her father, as he died before she was born. Marie's story tracks from her early years with her mother bringing up herself and her brother. Her story includes her memories, not so happy ones, of her stepfather. And we learn of her gaining a scholarship to an all-girls school. This was an experience she absolutely loved. There are so many wonderful stories, including Marie meeting her husband-to-be, Ken. If dealing with the war years is not enough, Marie, having decided that Ken is the one, goes through a period of agony and ecstasy, waiting for him to propose. The war ends, and this part of our program ends, with Ken telling Marie that he's going to Australia. Marie, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. And could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
Well, I was born in London, just outside London, actually. Yes, that's right. I was born not in the city of London, but in London, outer London.
What year was that?
That year was 1931.
So that was just coming out of the Great Depression years, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it was, because it was a time when things were very difficult. I remember Mum saying, well, I lost my father when he was very, very young. He was only 30 when he died. And he died of that scourge, TB.
Oh, that was a scourge then, because yes. They didn't have a cure like now, did they?
No.
No. So were you a very young girl when he died?
No, unfortunately, my father never saw me because my mother was pregnant at the time with me. My brother was six. Anyway, it was all very, very sad. And like you say, Rob, the difficulty with jobs and things like that, it must have been terrible. And poor Mum, there she was, left with two children. And my father died. And I never saw him, which was another sad thing.
Of course.
And it's one of my biggest regrets is never, ever seeing my father.
Never knowing Dad.
I always look at the photos and imagine what it would be like. Yes. I wrote a poem about him once, what it would be like to be held by him. And but, of course, I wasn't.
No.
So that was that.
That must have been terribly difficult on your mum.
Oh, it must have been.
Because they had no welfare like they have now, do they?
No.
So do you know how she coped financially? Did she have a job?
No. Well, what happened, she did everything to get help for us, I think, first of all. And she then, of course, she had to go to work.
Yeah.
And she wasn't what you call an upholstress, and she worked, on furniture and things. There was nothing she could need. She was able to do anything with a piece of furniture. She was very clever like that.
What do you remember of the family home as a child?
The family home? Well, I don't really remember very much because, well, actually, my mother had to remarry, so I'll tell you that.
Oh, please, yes.
Yes. My mother had to remarry, which turned out to be an absolute disaster.
Oh.
It was terrible because she married in a hurry to help with the children.
Of for all the right reasons.
Yes, and there was a neighbour upstairs who had his eye on my mum, I suppose, and I was in an orphanage at the time, and he took my mum on the... I don't know whether you ever... No, you wouldn't remember. It was one of those motorbikes with a sidecar.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she used to take... He used to take her up to the orphanage, and that way... He wheedled into Mum's
life.
Yeah. And that brought them together. But Mum never really knew him, but she was desperate, so she married him.
And is it reasonable to say one of the good parts of her marrying him was that you got out of the orphanage? Because did that happen?
Yes, I suppose for my brother mainly, because he was six when he was in the orphanage. I was only a little toddler.
Yes.
So I really don't remember an orphan. I've got a photo of me at the orphanage.
Right.
But I've never really... I wouldn't remember it. No, just as well, I suppose.
I think that is probably just as well, yes.
I asked my brother once how he felt about the orphanage, and he said, all I can remember was I was very unhappy and there were a lot of tears.
Oh, dear. Break your heart, wouldn't it? Yes. So you suddenly find yourself back with your mum and a new father. I won't say a dad. He wasn't your dad, but a new father. Did you get a connection with him?
No, I never did, because when I suppose I, you know, became to a home in a house, I had to meet my brother, who I'd never met before.
Oh, of course.
And I had a stepbrother.
Oh, and a stepbrother?
Yes, who I had no connection with as well. And unfortunately, he was a man with a lot of terrible temper. And of course, instead of having a wonderful father that my mum used to tell me about, this young man who died, I got this monster. To me, he seemed like a monster, but he wasn't a monster, but he had a terrible temper. I think he probably was a legacy from the war.
But even so, we can make excuses or explanations for him, but as a young child, that didn't help you, did it?
No, it didn't. No.
So it was like almost a double disaster. You lose your real father before you even get to meet him, and he's replaced by somebody who just doesn't give you a happy life.
Yeah, and all I can remember was the terrible... rows, you know.
Sure.
When I used to go to bed of a night, I could hear them. And poor Mum, she'd really fight. She was a woman who was very, very determined, and she would have been, well, a woman of her time now.
Yes.
But, you know, because those days, she didn't mean anything. Women didn't.
No, they didn't, did they? They were really worse second-class citizens then.
Right. But there were times that I do remember really well is when stepfather was out of the way, she used to say, now, what would you like me to play on the piano? And I used to go through the piano stall, because my mother was a pianist.
Right.
And I used to pick the music, and I'd be up in my bed and I'd hear the music coming up the stairs. Wonderful.
Yeah, I can see that all over your face. You were smiling when you were telling me that. So amongst all that ugliness, there was beauty for you, though.
Yeah. She was a wonderful pianist.
Mm-hmm.
You started to grow up. Did you go to school?
Yes, I did. I remember sleeping on it. We used to go to sleep on little beds in the school, have a little lesson, and then I remember that, laying on the I love that. Funny how things stick in your mind, isn't it?
So your school experiences at that age are pleasant ones.
They are, at the young age. Then later on, I took a scholarship. I'm jumping a bit here, you know, into an older child.
How old roughly are we talking about? Just roughly.
I would say, because of my stepfather's problem, I never really did too good at school. I hated school to begin with. And then there was a certain school I wanted to go to, but you know, I had to go through a scholarship. And Mum said to me, if you pass that scholarship, I'll buy you a satchel. I thought, I must have that satchel. And I wanted to go to this school anyway. It was a girls' school. And there would be no boys there.
No boys around. Boys.
And I thought, will I pass that scholarship? So anyway, I went up to the teacher and I said, I want to go to another school. It's a girls' school and I want to pass the scholarship. Will you give me homework? And he looked at me as if I was mad, I think, you know, think that I wanted to go and have another, you know, to have
homework. Yes.
And he said, oh, yes, I will. So he gave me the homework and I passed the scholarship.
You must have been so pleased when you were told you passed.
I remember the letter coming and I remember sitting on the stairs and I thought, I won't open it, but I think it's good news. And I had to wait for Mum to come home and from work. And I thought, well, I'm sure it must be good news. Oh, please make it good news. And it was. I passed the scholarship. But how Mum bought the uniform, I don't know, because we had strict rations.
Because we're moving towards the war years, aren't we?
Yes, yes, yes. Mum bought the uniform. How she did it, my mum could work miracles when she wanted
When she wanted to and needed to, yes. So what was it like for you going to the all-girls school?
Oh, it was heaven, absolute heaven. I had the uniform, I had a special beret with a badge on it, jacket. It was brown and gold. And I started the school right from the beginning so that you never went into a school where nobody knew you. You went and you started all together.
Yes.
So that was a wonderful thing to me. Yeah.
Yes.
I got my satchel.
Yes. Was it a leather one?
Yes, it was. Everything about it was what I hoped it would be, and it turned out. We used to go on outings, and that was another thing that I loved about it. It was so much. I could go on forever about it. It was so wonderful.
How many years did you stay at the school for?
I was there about 4 years. It was very difficult because of the war.
Yes, so the war had started by now.
Yes, it had.
And were you still living basically in London?
Yes, we were.
So do you remember the Blitz and...
Yes, we do. I remember when the war started. I think every London girl or boy would know when that war started. You would remember, wouldn't you?
I do, yeah.
It was something you could never forget. There was talk of bombing and would we be bombed, and of course it turned out we were.
Was the area that you lived in, was that ever bombed?
Yes. I saw the city of London burning, which was terrible.
Listen to older voices. Living History on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and you're listening to Marie Ainger. Maria is recollecting her life as a child, particularly during the Blitz and the Second World War.
So why did you leave school? Was it because you needed to get out and work, or was there other reasons?
No, well, actually, I learnt during that time, I learnt to be a tailoress.
Right.
They got you special jobs in the very high, well, what would you say, where a lot of the royals went. Tailoring had to be done very perfectly. Well. It was mainly all handwork that I did.
Can you remember about what age you would have been when you went to work? 15, 16 or younger?
I was around about 15, 16. Yes.
So did you make any friends at the place you worked at?
Yes, you do. Yeah, especially when you start, like I did, you know, right at the beginning and everybody is new. So we did make friends, yes. We all wanted to be film stars.
Of course.
Actually, we were opposite of a film studio, and it was called the Gainsborough Studio.
Quite famous.
Yeah, they used to make a lot of films, didn't they?
They did.
And James Mason, we always wanted to meet him. James Mason was our favourite. And there was a lot of stars there, and we used to see them coming out, and you know, we always want to bump into them and say, would you put me in your film? Yeah.
So what were you able to do for a social life given the war was on? Did you go to movies or dances or anything like that?
Oh, yes. I loved dancing. And my mum used to say sometimes, you should take your bed round there. Because I loved it so much, I would go there every day if I could. I loved it.
Right.
Yeah. I had it all going because at that dance, I met Ken.
Right. So can you recall the first time you saw Ken?
Oh, yes. I was with a friend. She was very tall. And she used to say, I bet I get the short one or something or other.
Yes.
You will always get, you know, the better one. And I said, but I like that one over there. And she said, which one? And I said, that one. You know, I pointed out. I said, I like him very much. He's very good looking and, oh, I like it. I hope he asks me to dance. And he came over. Ken, and he was lovely. We had some dances, and I knew immediately. It was a feeling I had. I thought, I love this guy. He's really everything. I didn't even know him.
You just met him.
Yeah, but I just had that feeling. I said, I remember you asked me if I'd like a drink. I said, well, I don't drink. What about a lemonade? So I had a lemonade. And you had to give one to my friend too, because she was all on her own. And yes, it was. And comes the time to say goodbye, and he said, where do you live? And I said, I explained where I lived, and I think your face dropped a bit, because he said, Oh, that's a long way, isn't it? I said, look, don't take me all the way home. Just take me part the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, dear, I think that's the end of that. Anyway, he did. He took me halfway there. And it was down there near that prison, wasn't it, Ken?
It was, past the prison.
And anyway, I thought, I don't know whether this will last, but I was telling my mother about him, and I said, he's absolutely lovely, Mum. He's got the most wonderful smile. I bet she thought, oh, here we go again. You know? I've heard all this before.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I've had a few boyfriends. And so that, it developed I've got to ask you.
So Ken disappears into the night, take you home, you get home, you tell Mum. How did you arrange to get back together again?
Well, we didn't have any phones in that time. But he said to me, can I meet you again? And I thought, you haven't kissed me yet. When are you going to kiss me? That's what I wanted. And so I said to my friend Yvonne, I said, you know, I've got this lovely man, but he doesn't kiss me. Oh, something wrong with him. Why isn't he kissing?
Something wrong with him.
So anyway, it developed more. And then one day, after a few, you know, outings with Ken, more and more I thought he's the man for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, one day he said to me, I've got something special to ask you. And I said, oh, and my heart started beating. I thought, oh, what is it? And he said, no, I'll tell you later. So I thought, what do I hope is going to be something special? You know what? And he said, I'll meet you at the Red Cow. It was the Red Cow, wasn't it, Ken?
It was.
Red Cow is a pub. And the pub, you know, they're not like pubs here.
No.
They're different altogether. They're meeting places for men and women, and they're quite jolly places.
Very homely, aren't they?
They are.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of singing going on.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
So anyway, that's what happened. He met me at the pub, and there was one particular, I'm jumping a bit here. He was a bit late, and he never turned up. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's going to finish. Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know where he lives. I don't know. I got into a bit of a panic. And it turned out he was horse or something, you were backing in it.
I was at the races of that afternoon, and she was waiting outside of the Hammersmith Palais for how many hours?
Oh, not an hour. It was a fair while.
The bus was held up, and I rushed as much as I could at the end, and luckily she was still there.
I waited.
Oh, you must have been so pleased when you saw him.
Oh, I was. And so
you immediately forgave him for being late, didn't you?
Oh, I did. That was all forgotten. Anyway, we went to the pub, and he never said anything for a long while. I think he was getting his courage together. And so we're sitting in the Red Cow, and ages before he said anything, he sat there and he was so quiet, because he is a very quiet chap. And I thought, when is he going to, what's that special thing he was going to tell me about? So eventually I couldn't wait anymore, and I said, there was something special you were going to say to me. Oh, yes, he said, I think I love you. And I said, oh, wonderful. It's exactly what I wanted to say. And then he said, well, but I'm going to Australia. And I thought, oh, no, he loves me, but he's going away. Oh, that's terrible. What is he doing to me?
It's like out of some sort of romance novel, isn't it? Can I just ask you, had the war finished now?
Oh, sorry, yes, it had.
So the war's over.
Yes, the war's over. That was a wonderful, wonderful day.
Do you remember the war finishing?
Yes, I do. It was an absolutely fantastic day, because we'd had so many terrible raids in London, and we lost part of our house. There were days where we could sleep. We didn't have to say, oh, aren't we going to go to sleep tonight without, you know, the bombers coming over. And we thought everything was fine and the war would be over. But would you believe it, that wretched Hitler sent this awful bomb over, which didn't need a pilot, flying bomb.
Yes.
And they were dreadful things. They were almost worse than the Blitz. And then when the war finished, we didn't have... We could sleep at night without any bothering about any them sending anything over. It was wonderful to sleep in your bed and know you could stay there.
But rationing kept going, didn't it?
It did for a long time. It did.
The story's all quite mixed up here, but I think it makes sense in a way. So war's over. You've still got rationing. Things are getting back together. You've met the man of your life. And he suddenly says, I'm going to Australia. Did he explain why he was going to Australia? I encourage you to join Marty and I next week and to learn about the circumstances that saw Ken, who had just proposed to Marty, leave her to return to Australia. As well, there's a lot more about this wonderful, effervescent woman, Marty Anger. Join us next week on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.